I am so excited that you guys are here tonight and are having fun so far. Hopefully you got a popsicle. If not, make sure you grab one on your way out because they are hands down some of the best popsicles I've ever had in my life. So I want to make sure you grab one of those. But just really glad that you guys are here. Our team has been praying for you all week long, just that God would prepare your hearts to be here, that tonight would be encouraging to you, that you would have a good time, but also that we would be able to give you some practical leadership tips when it comes to your life, whether you lead at your home or in your workplace or you lead here on our G team. We are just really glad that you're here and excited to be able to hopefully come alongside you and figure out what it looks like to lead better. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Alyssa Wilkinson. I'm our G Groups Director here at The Journey. And over the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to lead ourselves. And no matter where you're currently at in your leadership or how many people you lead, whether that's a couple of maybe even little ones that you lead at home or a huge team at your job, leading other people always starts with leading ourselves. And it's one of the most important things that you'll ever have to do as a leader is learning to lead yourself. And the reason why is because God has given each one of us a purpose that He wants us to live out. And if we don't figure out what it looks like to lead ourselves and do that well, then we're eventually going to run out of energy when it comes to having to pour that out into other people. And when it comes to leadership, we can't produce what we don't possess. And so, in other words, if we aren't taking the time to do the things in our day-to-day lives and fill us up, we are eventually just going to run out of steam. We're going to be pouring everything out and not filling ourselves back up, and it's only going to last so long. And this hasn't always been something that I've been good at. In fact, it's taken me a long time, and it's still something that I have to work really hard at, of what does it look like to lead myself. And you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do. You can go on Google or read a ton of different books or listen to podcasts, and all those are really great ways to lead yourselves. But without fail, one of the best ways that I have found to lead myself is practicing a slot and spot, or having a time and a place with God every single day. And we can look and see how Jesus did this. In Mark, he says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So in other words, he did it in the morning. He had a slot, which was a time. And then again in Matthew, it says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So have a spot, a place that you go. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how we lead ourselves through practicing a slot and spot, through having that time where we are filled up by God. And the language that we use around this is so important, and that we say we practice a slot and spot because it's not always something that we're good at. You know, it kind of comes and goes in waves, but it's something that we're always striving to get better at, and it's a habit that we have in place in our lives. And it's not a decision that we make. One of the things that has helped me so much when it comes to my slot and spot is I made a decision that I'm not going to give myself an option to, like, say yes or no every single day. So when I wake up every day and I'm like, oh, do I feel like doing my slot and spot? The answer is not always yes. You know, sometimes I had a rough night's sleep, or, you know, you have situations where, like, your spouse or your kids are just being really annoying and you haven't had your coffee and you're like, I just don't have time for this today. But it was making a decision that, hey, no matter what I feel like when I wake up in the morning, no matter what's going on in my house, whether, you know, people are being crazy around me or I'm in a bad mood, like, I'm going to do this. So, oh, thank you. It is very warm in here. This will help you guys, I promise. But making that decision ahead of time that no matter what I feel like when I wake up in the morning, because that's the time that I do it. If I don't do it in the morning, I will not do it the rest of the day, most likely, that I am going to have my slot and spot. And I grew up with the idea of a slot and spot. It was introduced to me at a pretty early age. I grew up in church, but I remember in fourth grade, when I first learned about it, we called it quiet time. So I automatically kind of didn't like it. I was like, quiet time? That sounds terrible. Like, I don't want to do that. But my Sunday school teacher, like, convinced me this was a good idea. He talked to us about what it looks like. So he gave us, like, a mixed CD that was just filled with DC Talk and, like, Stephen Curtis Chapman songs and had a composition book. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, I finally get to do this and, like, check it off every single day that I'm reading my Bible. And then as life happened and I grew up and was older than 9 years old and, you know, my schedule got filled a little bit more, that habit that I had when I was in elementary school just kind of like didn't really work out that well. Like sometimes I would do it, sometimes I didn't. I would like get on a really good roll and do it every single day for a couple weeks or a couple months, and then I would get distracted or really tired and I would stop, and then I would feel guilty, and then I would like convince myself that I should probably start doing it again, and then I would get on a roll and kind of just repeat this cycle over and over. And looking back, I can kind of see some misconceptions that I had about spending time with God, what it should look like, how I should do it, when I should do it, why I should do it. And I'm sure that for all of you, some of you are in a place where you're like, hey, I've got this figured out. I know that this is what I should do. I know why I should do it. And some of you, this might be a brand new concept of spending time with God. So no matter where you are at in that scale of things, I just want to encourage you to lean in over the next few minutes, because I really believe that God just desires to have a relationship with you and for you to spend time with him. And I want to just encourage you in that and give you some tools that you can use. And it's possible you're thinking here, like sitting here and thinking, okay, so all that sounds great. And I'm not saying I disagree. Like I get that I should have a slot and spot, but what exactly does that look like? So that's really what we're going to dig in today, is the practical how of spending time with God and how that can look for you in your day-to-day life. So there are four things that I do in my slot and spot that we're going to go through. And the first one is that I read my Bible. And so I know that sounds really simple, and we all know, you know, if you've been to church your entire life or you have recently put your faith in Jesus, we talk about the Bible all the time, and we know that it's something we should do, but knowing what to read and how to read it and then, like, what do you do with it afterwards can be kind of confusing. And so that's why it's really important to have a plan. And one of the things that has been really helpful for me is to use an app like YouVersion that kind of plans it out for me, so I don't have to think about it. You know, I don't have to figure out every morning when I sit down of like, ooh, what am I going to read today? You know, it's already set up. And so it's like, hey, Alyssa, read these few verses or read this chapter of the Bible, and then here's a little devotional to kind of figure out how to apply it to your life. And so having a plan kind of takes away that question of like, where do I even start? Because there's 66 books, they all have different chapters, you know, it can get really confusing. And I think part of what makes the Bible so confusing, depending on your experience with it, is not understanding really where it comes from or knowing how Jesus interacted. And so that is where we're going to start. Now, when Jesus was alive, they obviously didn't have the Bible because most of it was written about him. So what they did have were the first five books of the Bible. So, you know, the really fun ones that we all like to read. Terrible, but that is all they had. So they studied this and had this in the middle of their synagogue. So in the middle of their church were the first five books of the Bible that they got to interact with. But here's what was so interesting about the way that they read the Bible. So not everybody could read, so they had to memorize it, but it was used as a tool to create conversations, and people engaged with it in a way that wasn't just like reading and be like, all right, cool, I checked that off of my list today. So they would ask questions with each other, and it was meant to be this community experience that they shared. And that's part of why, if you've ever been in a J group or have led a J group, it's one of our six essentials for our groups, is that we read the Bible together, because we believe that it was meant to be an experience that we share. So it wasn't just intellectual, but it really moved people to action. It wasn't just about the words, but the words are important. But it's about the thing that happens when the words are acted out in real life by real people. And Jesus did this so well. You know, we see it all the time as we read the first four books of the New Testament and how he handled that and lived out the things. And so I think one of the most powerful questions we can ask as we're reading the Bible and figuring out what it looks like is, what did Jesus say about what I'm reading? And we just never stop asking questions. You know, it's not a bad thing to do that as you are reading the Bible. And some of the ones that I ask all the time when I'm reading is like, okay, well, like, why is that there? What is that referring to? What is it, if I'm reading a verse, what comes before it? What comes after it? Or is there any action or a phrase or idea that I'm reading that maybe I've seen somewhere else? Is this a theme that is kind of carrying through this book? And then figure out how they relate to one another. And yes, the Bible can be confusing. It was written, you know, thousands of years ago by people who are in a different culture than us. But that doesn't mean that we just kind of throw our hands in the air and be like, oh, well, you know, it wasn't written for us. It was just written for those Corinthians who were like clearly doing some shady things back in the day. But that is what makes the Bible so powerful, is that it kind of transcends all of those different cultures and all of the different times. So we keep asking and hunting and searching, assuming that there's always more going on than meets the eye. And in the same way that God works beyond what we immediately can see in our own lives, he always has more for us when we read the Bible. Now, the second part of my slot and spot that we're going to talk about is prayer. Now, prayer is such a powerful thing in our lives and in our relationship with God. And one of the things that we talk a lot about here at The Journey is the dream that you have in your heart. Like, what is the thing that God has placed inside of you that you are passionate about, that only you can do? And that dream is placed inside of you for a reason. And it's really birthed in that time with God where you spend talking and listening to him. And I think one of the most important things to remember, especially when it comes to our slot and spot and praying, is quality over quantity. You know, it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. You don't have to sit down for an hour and a half every day, and you don't have to use the right words or say the right things, but just be honest with God and take the time that you have. And I remember a couple months ago, my dad and I are pretty close and we talk on a pretty regular basis. He doesn't always live in the area. And I was just had so much going on. Like, I was really stressed and didn't really know, like, I just didn't want to talk about it, you know? And I was like, I know if I talk about it, it's going to be hard and I'm probably going to cry. And because that's what I do when I get overwhelmed. And I knew like the times that I did have, I only had like 5 minutes here and there. And I was like, five minutes is not enough time to like fill him in on everything that is going on. And so when I finally had long enough to talk to him, I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. I know you haven't heard from me in a while. And he was like, yeah, you know, what was up with that? And I was like, well, I only had 5 minutes. And he was like, Alyssa, I'd love to talk to you for 5 minutes. And I think that is how God looks at us, is like we kind of get caught up in this time frame of like, oh, it has to look a certain way. And God is like sitting up there saying, hey, I would love to talk to you for 5 minutes. I would love to hear what is going on in your life and what is going on in your world and how you're dealing with that. And I would just love to interact with you on that. And so what does that look like? How are different ways that we can do this? Some things that have really helped me is I have a list of each day, the different people that I pray for. So on Monday, I pray for like the members of my J group. On Tuesdays, I pray for my family. On Wednesdays, I pray for the people that I work with. And that just kind of helps me know, again, like going back to what we talked about with having a plan with reading the Bible, like I don't have to think about it as much. Or set reminders on your phone. I remember I like read the verse somewhere in the Bible that talks about like praying continuously. And I was like, that seems like a lot. So I just set reminders on my phone for every hour so that I could be reminded to do that. And praying through scripture has been something that has been really great for me, especially in the Psalms, of when I don't know what to say, being able to take part of the Bible and place my name in some of those verses and some of those words and just praying that over my life. And then finally, I pray out loud a lot of the times, especially when I'm in my car and nobody can see me and then they just think I'm talking on the phone, so it's not like crazy. But it really just helps me to stay focused. You know, I'm not just in my head kind of thinking about all the different things, but I'm actually saying it out loud and kind of keeps me on track. And then third part of practicing a slot and spot is take good notes. Now, I really think that journaling gets such a bad rap these days. You know, people hear it and assume that means they have to write down all of their feelings and everything that's going on in their life. And I especially hear this from guys. They're like, I don't want to write about my feelings. And I'm like, that is not the point of journaling. So in Exodus 17:14, it says, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder. And then in Jeremiah, he says, this says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. And that's really what taking good notes is all about. It reminds us, when we write down the things that we hear from God, it just serves as a reminder of the ways that he has been faithful to us, of the things that we've gone through in our lives that he has carried us through. And it gives us a place to look back in a couple months and see the way that he moved. I can't tell you how many times I've been able to pull out my journal 3 months later and be like, oh, these are the things that I was praying for 3 months ago that I've like seen God answer today, you know, that I'm not praying about anymore. And so then when I'm in spots where I'm like, I've been praying about this thing for a really long time and it's getting hard and it's feeling like a lot, I have something to look back on and be like, I felt that way before. And I saw God answer and come through for me. And it's just such a good reminder for myself of like, hey, God's done this and he can do it again. And it's going to be okay. It just gives me something to hold on to and something to hope for. And it just gives us language. I mean, how many times have you like been going through something or felt a certain way and you didn't really understand how you felt about it until you started talking about it? Journaling is kind of like that. Like when you write down what's going on, it just helps you kind of put into perspective of like, okay, here's what's happening. Here is how I'm responding to it. Maybe here's how I should respond to it. You know, maybe yelling at that person in the grocery store wasn't the best way to deal with that. And if you aren't into, you're like, hey, don't really want to write about my day. I don't want a diary. I totally understand that. One of the most helpful things for me when I first started is using the SOAP method of reading your Bible. Have you guys ever heard of the SOAP method? Anybody? A few of you. Okay, awesome. So SOAP is a four-letter acronym that is really helpful just as you read through your Bible. So the S stands for scripture. And so that is just saying, hey, as you read, maybe write down the verses that stuck out to you the most. And then the O is observation. So that's where you would take some time and say, hey, what's going on in this passage? Like, what do I see is happening? Who's involved in this story? The A stands for application. So how does this verse apply to your life? What are some things that you can take out of it and use in your everyday? And then finally, ending in prayer. So thanking God, how to live out that application and taking a couple of minutes and listening. And then the fourth part of practicing a slot and spot is to have fun. And I know that might seem like a weird one to end with. Like you're like, all right, you just told us to read the Bible and to pray and to journal. And now you're telling us to have fun. But the way that I like to think about it is if you are married or you're dating someone or have been friends with someone for a while, how many times has it happened where you're just like sitting around talking about what you're gonna do together and every idea that you come up with, you're like, we've already done that like 5 times. You know, like we just did that a couple weeks ago. Or maybe you've heard that from your kids when you're like, hey, let's go and do this thing. And they're like, we just did that. We don't need to do that again. And so here's the fact. It's just doing the same thing over and over again gets boring, especially if you're wired the way that I am. If your personality is like needing to go and move and change and have fun and not be stuck in the same routine, you just need to kind of shake it up a bit. And so it's fun to try new things with people, you know, when you come up with new date ideas or new things to do with your kids or try something new with a friend. And it teaches you new things about the other person. You know, when you get to do a different activity with somebody, you learn things about them that maybe you hadn't seen in a new way. And so we have a plan, you know, that we don't lose sight of that because that helps us kind of as we have that structured time with God. But we also don't get bogged down and feel like it always has to look the same way, you know. So for me, I make sure that like once a week I put my headphones on. I either listen to a podcast from a church or I put some worship music on and I make sure that I get outside and I just go for a walk and like pray as I'm walking through my neighborhood. Or I'll go to White Clay and spend some time there. But I'm like, I just need to get out of my house and like not sit on my couch and read the same thing and do the same thing every day. And I think one of the most important things to remember when it comes to your slot and spot is there's no right way to do it. Like, these are tools that we're giving you and hoping that is helpful for you of, hey, here's some guidelines that you can kind of get you started. But it's really about figuring out what works best for you and your schedule and your family and your life and where you're at. But the important part is the consistency of it. And one of the things that I've learned with this habit is it is directly, like, the frequency in which you do it is directly correlated to how easy or how hard it is. So the more often you practice a slot and spot, the easier it is. And the less often you practice the slot and spot, the harder it gets. But before you guys leave today, I wanted to give you a couple of minutes to hear from somebody who is wired very differently than I am. So I just told you, you know, I don't like routine that much. I like to kind of have fun and play around and shake things up a bit. But one of the guys on our team, Brad, is complete opposite of me. So he loves to have a routine. And every time he's like, you do what? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It just sounded fun. And so I asked him to come and just be here tonight and talk for a couple minutes about what this habit looks like in his life.
Thank you. Can you give it up for Alyssa real quick? Such helpful. Yeah, really, really helpful and practical tools for you. And like Alyssa said, I'm wired very differently. So for me, like, my slot and spot has to be consistent. Like, I have to do the same thing every day, or if I don't do it, it just won't happen. So for me, like, I have to start it first thing in the morning. Like, I have to wake up and do my slot and spot. I want it to be the first part of my day. Like, I want to give God the best part of my day. How many people are morning people in this room? You're morning people. Okay, now how many people are night owls? Y'all are the night owls. Okay, wow, we have a lot of night owls in this room right now. Y'all are like, we're going to lead. We're having a bunch of fun. And all the morning people are like, when does this end? When does it? So I'm a morning person, okay? So I give God, for me, what is the best part of my day, which is the morning. So I'm like, hey, I want to be as intentional and in tune with what God wants to say in my life. So I'm going to give him the best part of my day. And I've just found for my life that's really helped me be consistent with my slot and spot, that I know whenever I do it first thing in the morning, it sets up my day for success. Those of you that are night owls and you're like, I get to work right when I need to get to work because there's no time in between, you know who you are, like, that's okay. Give God the best part of your day. Find opportunities to give God. What is the most successful part of your day where you can give God your complete and undivided attention and really just lean into your relationship with God? And here's, guys, here's why this matters on a leadership level. So we can give you all the tools in the world. The four things that Alyssa gave you, they were great and fantastic. But here's why this matters, and here's why we're talking about it whenever it comes to a leadership event. Because you might be thinking, okay, that's helpful, practical, but how does it tie to being a leader? Ultimately, there's something I've learned as a leader that is a principle that I've repeated over and over and over again, and it's that you can't produce what you don't possess. Like, stuff can't come out of you in your leadership to lead other people if it's not already inside of you. If you haven't spent time with God, it's like trying to pour out an empty container. There's nothing to pour out. But whenever we are filled up by God through our slot and spot, and people can say, you have spent time with God today, then our lives and our leadership can better influence other people. So when people look at me, I've stopped going, hey, what do people think of me, or do they think I'm okay, or do they think I'm a good enough leader? I've started kind of putting myself through this filter. Can people look at me and say, he spent time with God today? Because if they can say yes to that question, I'm pretty sure I could mess up 14 different things, but they would know he spent time with God today. So there must be some nugget of information that's got to be good in the midst of all the other stuff that he said. Versus, I know that if I haven't spent time with God, it shows. Like, I can tell. And I've started getting, like, pretty good at identifying people that I lead and spend time with and build relationships with. I've started getting kind of good at this. Like, I can tell when somebody has been in their slot and spot and when they haven't. And so ultimately, other people are the same way with you. And so if you want to be a leader and you want to have influence in other people's lives, and ultimately You want to pastor people. You want to walk alongside of them. Whatever is going on in their life, the best way that you can do that is by first spending time with God, filling up the cup that God has given you. And then as David said in Psalm 23, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, he says that his cup overflows. It's what happens inside of him that his cup overflows into the lives of other people. And ultimately, that's what I want for my leadership, that I can't produce in other people what I don't already possess in myself. And if I will create the environment where my cup can be full, then at that point, if I keep getting filled, it has to overflow. It naturally will. There is no other place that it will go. It's not like it's going to keep filling me up because I'm already full by what God's doing in my life and what my slot and spot has been like. So now what happens is I get the chance to overflow into the lives of other people. And that's why this matters on a leadership level, guys. You get the opportunity to spend time with our Father, our Creator, our Savior, and get a chance to get around him and get our cup filled up so that then whenever we step into whatever leadership looks like for you, whether it's in your families, you're a leader in the business world, you're a leader in the marketplace, you lead your ministry team, you lead some kind of environment, like people just look at you and say, that person's got something as a leader, and they look at you and identify that and see it, you're gonna then have the opportunity in their lives to overflow into them. And that's why it's so powerful to have that slot and spot, that time and place with God that you consistently put on your calendar. You can go walking in White Clay Creek State Park. You can sit in your bedroom with headphones on. You can read the King James Version of the Bible, everybody. You can do whatever you want to do for your slot and spot as long as it is spending quality time with God and you are growing in your faith and you are taking next steps. Whatever that looks like for you, make it yours. That's what Alyssa said. Make it yours for whatever works. And I think the most important thing that we can do, we're going to get ready to transition here in just a minute back to the auditorium where you're going to hear from Pastor Mark. But I think it's only appropriate that we close this out with some prayer. Let's spend some time with our God as we get ready to wrap up. And one of my favorite things to say is I don't like mediocre prayers. So let's pray a big, bold prayer. Let's ask God to be here in this place. His word says that where two or three people are gathered, there he is also. So I believe that God's in this room with us. Let's turn our hearts towards God and open it up to him tonight. Father, we love you so much. You are the God of the universe that is worthy to be praised and worshiped, God. And we just give everything in our lives back over to you, everything that we've been holding on to, thinking that we are able to control it or able to fix it or able to influence it. God, I pray that we would just give that control over to you. And God, I pray that in this moment, right here, right now, for the people that are discouraged, God, you would fill their cup. God, that you would fill them with your spirit. God, for the people that are worried, I pray that you would fill their cup. For the people that are anxious, I pray that you would fill their cup. For the people that feel like they are full with you, that they're on fire for you, God, I pray that it would overflow into the lives of other people. And God, I pray that you would be moving in our lives, that as you have motivated us to this next step of leadership, whatever that might be, prompting us to move forward, God, don't let us take a step without putting you first. God, don't let us step outside of what you have asked us to do without first spending time with you in our slot and spot. I pray that over every person in this room today, that we would experience you fully with everything that you have planned for our lives. And God, I just pray that throughout the rest of the call tonight, that you would be ready to move and light a fire underneath us so that we can do what you have called us to do in whatever area of our lives you are calling us to do it, in our families, in our workplaces, in our ministry, in our serving of other people, whatever that looks like. God, I pray that you would motivate us with a next step because we are here for you, we love you, and we serve you. And it's in your name that we pray. Everybody said, amen.